sports and basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
Time for the Bob Ryan, Gary Tangway. Jeff Goodman will be back soon podcast. He's still recuperating from the NCAA. We are brought to you by Prize Picks, exclusive daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with Prize Picks. Well, I'll tell you something, Bob. This Celtic team, for old schoolers like you and me, it's a little frustrating. At the time I'm talking to you, they've come off of, you know, uninspired games, losses to Milwaukee, to the Knicks. I know it doesn't matter, but for someone like me, it still matters.
Well, Joe Mazzulla is playing a different game than everybody else, and he's unapologetic. He's not specifically saying, I don't give a damn that we don't, if we don't win. I have one goal, a couple of goals. One, protect my guys, protect my key guys, time-wise, you know, of course, which we all applaud. That's fine. You know, Porzingis, Horford specifically, fine. You know, we want to protect them, and that's great. They're instrumental. Got to, particularly Porzingis, got to have him. Okay, that's fine. So the other thing is more playing time for the reserves to get, you know, in case, you know, we need that comes necessary or during the playoffs. That's fine. And so basically, and that those are the two goals, which I think makes sense. But, you know, he's basically punting people's. He's got an obligation, you think, that he doesn't seem to care that there are teams he's playing that for teams whom things matter, and this is indirectly affects their opponents. If they're losing games that they have a chance to win to the Bucks and the Knicks, who both are still involved in very specific, serious competition, it's not fair to the opponents, you know, that they're handing him these victories. But he's not worried about, he doesn't appear to be worried about that. That's not, and he may be taking it to an extreme. I mean, pulling the reserves against the, now the Knicks game was over early. I understand that, you know, that was right. That was, they, that
yes,
was over.
Second quarter, they blew out the Celts.
Yeah. So we're not, it's just propriety. I'm not worried about it. I mean, they got a week to practice. If they, I'll tell you what, here's the thing. I'm thinking on the fly here. Okay. No, seriously, I'm just thinking on the fly. Oh, wait a minute, Bob. Come on. This is even better. If they had won these two games and in the fashion that we got used to them, you know, double digits, and then the season ends Sunday, and we know they don't play for a week, and what would be the issue going into the first playoff game that they have against whomever it's going to be, and it could be any one or a number of different teams? Oh, my God, are they going to be rusty? Well, guess what? Now it doesn't matter. That circumstance would have prevailed regardless. So no matter whether they're winning the last two, they got two left, they're playing Charlotte and they're playing Wizards, or they lose the last two, that is going to be the issue regardless. We're not going to worry about it. You know, we know how good they can be. We know that they're better than these teams, particularly the next two. And, you know, and then they're better than the Knicks, although I think the Knicks are an intriguing story for the immediate future. But so, you know what, folks? I wish I had thought about that. Relax. You'd have something to worry about either way. They have something to worry about if you think that's something to worry about, which is, you know, the fact they're going to be off a week. So that would have been the case regardless.
But nothing has changed to calm our nerves about close games.
Okay. Yes, right. They're the reason why they are not my favorite. The Denver remains my favorite. You know, I mean, I'm rooting for them, but I'm not picking them until I see them do what they need to do. We know Denver will perform when it matters. We know Denver manages the last 2 minutes, last 5 minutes. We know that. We know Denver has a frightening force in the middle that somebody said the other day, he's unguardable. Nobody can stop him.
Yeah,
it was after he trashed Rudy Gobert. Yeah. He trashed Rudy Gobert, who's a one-time defensive player of the year. And it was said nobody can guard the guy one-on-one. Okay, fine. Anyway, so yes, the Celtics have something to prove. They have a very, very important technical thing to prove, and it'll be an issue sooner or later.
What bothered me about the Knicks game is if you're not going to play hard or try to win the game, then Tatum and Brown should just sit out. Now, Brown, I thought, tried to win the game. Tatum, no surprise, was bothered by the officials. I would rather have seen Jason Tatum sit out the Knicks game, quite honestly. And I don't think Brown and Tatum should play the next two. You know, I think I know about the Russ factor. You know, Charles said at halftime last night, he talked about when the Suns went to the finals. He said they coasted at the end of the year and they lost the first two games of their opening round because they needed to get the mojo back. And that's, you know, that's one of the things you worry about is will they get the mojo back? But I guess your point is it doesn't matter. They could lose it anyways because there's so much time off between the end of the season and the playoffs.
Well, that will be the issue. And it would have been the issue whether they had won the last four games of the year, whether they lost the last four games of the year. It's going to be that week. And that, so, you know, we haven't learned anything new. They haven't, you know, they haven't been.
Right. If they face the Knicks, they should beat the Knicks in a seven-game series. We understand that. But as I'm watching the game last night, I'm still like, damn, guys, if you're on the floor, you know, let's go out there and let's try to – it's still Boston, New York. It's still the Knicks. I'm still a fan. I'm still watching the game. I understand the ramifications. But I'm like, I'm sitting here, guys. I want to see – I don't want to shut off – I don't care if it's the end of the season. And this is the nature of the league. I'm a consumer, and I don't want to, like, shut the game off at halftime.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I'd
be all full disclosure to everybody. I wasn't there.
You went to the site. You were smart.
I read, you know, Adam Himmelsbach in the Globe making a point that there were times that the Knick guys were so wide open. I mean, they could.
It's crazy. Like, I mean, Bob, it was a joke.
Koran before somebody came up to him.
I mean, there was no defense. It was
nobody was bothering them. No, that's not right. And
I just want to see I when I sit down to watch a game, and I know I sound like an old bastard, I just want to see a good game. That's all. And when this stuff happens, I get bummed out.
Well, that's not.
And we'll see. You know, we'll see if they can turn it back on. You know, I tell you right now, though, if this team doesn't make the finals, there'll be hell to pay. There will be there will be hell to pay. I don't think there's going to be hell to pay if they don't win it, because I'm with you. Denver's the best team. If they go and they lose to Denver, there's no shame in that. But if they get bounced by anybody in the East,
yeah,
I'm sorry. That is inexcusable.
No, it should not happen. It definitely should not happen. And I totally agree with you. And I just hope they're all prepared. I hope Joe Mazzulla is prepared. I hope Tatum's prepared, because those are going to be the first two targets, you know, for sure, if they don't win.
We move on to the wild. I want to say one thing about Mazzulla, though, before we go.
Yeah.
Like, his attitude is, don't worry about it. We're fine. We're getting ready for the playoffs. In this day and age of the NBA, and with his lack of cachet, as he is indeed building one, in defense of Mazzulla, he doesn't really have a choice. I mean, there's no way that a first-time NBA coach, and he's done a great job so far, but there's no way as an NBA first-time NBA coach, he's going to sit there and chew the ass of those guys because they lost to Milwaukee and New York. I mean, it's just going to blow up in his face. You just can't coach that way.
No, he's not going to launch some screaming match. No, you're right. Well,
I mean, he has no choice. I mean, like people will say, well, this is what Mazzulla's deciding to do. He has no choice. That's just the nature of the league, is what I'm saying.
Right.
You know? Okay. Well, all right, moving on. Wild Wild West. Bob, you got a lot of thoughts. There's a lot happening.
Well, not only, first of all, we don't know Denver hasn't clinched the number one seed yet with two games to go. They're only one game ahead of both Minnesota and OKC. And then in terms of the playoff, who's going to get in it, we've got four teams within two losses, three of them tied at 45 and 25. When the Phoenix is 47 and 33, and Sacramento, Golden State, and the Lakers all have the same record with two games to go. Now, the schedules, Phoenix ends on the road at Sacramento, at Minnesota. Those are losable games. They're losable. They're losable, you know. Sacramento is home, Phoenix and Portland. Golden State is home, New Orleans and Utah, and the Lakers are on the road at Memphis, who aren't very good right now, and at New Orleans, who have something to play for and are fairly decent, to say the least. Right. So that's going to be, I mean, you talk about scoreboard watching for those people. You talk about, I mean, this is Adam Silver, dream thing. We got all kinds of competition here. And
the thing that's great about it, which unfortunately I don't think is happening in the East, is everybody knows Denver's the best team in the West. But second place through the, I mean, all those other teams, there's so many storylines.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, starting with Durant, starting with LeBron. Starting with Minnesota and the start that they had.
Yes, absolutely. You're right.
And there are no storylines in the East.
Golden State. Are playing well and have done something that people said they had to do, and it's happening. What was that? Developing young talent. They are getting contributions, not just from Krasinski, you know. Yeah. And I'm so angry with myself. Okay. Kid from Indiana, Trace Jackson, and him, and Kuzinga is playing. He's playing. Kuminga's playing well. They're getting contributions. They're getting that needed help from the young legs to go along with the aging, the big three, you know. And by the way, Klay Thompson is rounding into form.
Right.
And I myself joined in that course. I said, we don't have to worry about him anymore. No, you do have to worry about him. And Draymond, who had a 5 threes in a row against the Lakers the other day to start the game. How about that, ladies and gentlemen? Anyway, they're going to get in, and they're going to, I think, and they're going to be heard from if they are. And then, of course, the Lakers remain everybody's, soap opera, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to be interesting. So this great, you're right, your storylines everywhere in the West. It's, it's going to be really, really a lot of fun over there. Now, over here, we've got Milwaukee, and the Knicks are still only one game behind Milwaukee. And then Milwaukee ends up on the road with two very losable games at OKC and at Dallas. At Orlando. That's losable. And meanwhile, the Knicks are home with the Nets, who are horrible and who they did beat by a million points last time they played. And the Bulls, who, you never know, but they're better and they're at home. So, and Cleveland, who's one game behind them, are home with Indiana and Charlotte, and Orlando splits. And Orlando, by the way, down the road, Philadelphia and Miami knocking on the door to get in. If people falter, and Miami ends up with a two-game series with Toronto. How about that?
Wow!
For games 81 and 82. They're home. They got a two-game home series with Toronto.
Crazy. All kinds of weird. Crazy.
This is great stuff. Now, and we're just floating above doing our own funny little thing,
Right.
While all this stuff's going on, we have nothing at stake. We've manufactured. Let's face it. You and I are manufacturing an issue, for conversational purposes.
Well, yeah. There's nothing else to talk about with ourselves. I mean,
an issue, but there's very real stuff going on out there with flesh and blood people battling for their lives. And we have nothing to do with it until, for a week at least.
Yes, we are sitting from afar in envy. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Prize Picks is so easy to play. I can make my Celtic picks and make my entry in less than 60 seconds. Quick withdrawals and easy gameplay and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what makes Prize Picks the number one fantasy sports app. Celtics and NBA fans, you can get in on Prize Picks in 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. On Prize Picks this week, I'm selecting Jason Tatum to dish out more than 5 assists and his teammate Jaylen Brown to have more than 22.5 points. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Prize Picks. All right, so Bob, let's segue over to the Hall of Fame. You got some thoughts there?
Yeah, they announced all the newly selections and for the 2024 Hall of Fame. And the thing that most people are concerned about, of course, are the NBA players. And just for the umpteenth time now, the reason why we have a College Basketball Hall of Fame, there's no college players that are going to go in because we haven't had a good four-year player since Tim Duncan and Van Horn. And I'm not kidding. And that's 25 years ago. because we don't get good four-year players
right,
anymore.
They don't stay for four, yeah.
All right. So we have Chauncey Billups, Vince Carter, Walter Davis, and the one I'm really happy about, Michael Cooper.
Oh, and Cooper, yes. Now, Max has been talking to him.
Frankly, we've got a minimum of three quite borderline guys that I'm not sure where I, a voter, I would have voted for at all. And you know, that, well, one of them I would have, I'll say. And that is Billups, and that is Davis. I guess Vince Carter, when you play 22 years.
Yeah, I guess.
People love him. He averaged 20 points a game 10 times. And he made 8 All-Star games. He also played for 8 teams, but, you know that's the way it goes.
Yeah, I'm with you, but I wouldn't vote for Vince.
I'm not thrilled about it, but yeah. And he has an extra cachet.
What about Walter Davis, though? Because
let me just say one more thing about
it. Sure.
Davis is, I mean, Carter's extra calling card. And I'm not, and I think this can be factored in at least baseball and basketball. Also, fame, crowd pleaser.
Oh yeah,
the dunking thing is his epitaph. You know, and you know, fans love. This is going to be applauded by the most average fans.
Right,
they like
dunk contest.
He's going to be applauded. Okay, Chauncey Billups. Also, he played. He only played for 8 teams. but here's a great story about him. He was drafted by Rick Pitino.
Yep.
And Rick knew, because he basically told us, this guy, he's a combo guard. He's not a one, he's not a two, he's a guard. And then he wanted to manufacture him into a point guard,
right,
and traded him after 3 months. And it took him to his fifth team before it all fell into place, Gar. That was with the Pistons when he went to Detroit and he got a ring in 2004. But he had to go from Boston to Toronto to Denver, Detroit. Yeah, Boston, Toronto, Denver, Minnesota. That's right. Four. And in his fifth team in 2004, right, he got to the Lakers, to the Pistons. He made 5 All-Star games. I just don't have that. He doesn't pass my eye test. He doesn't pass my feel. He doesn't pass my Potter Stewart test. But he's a good guy. And he was unfairly treated by Rick. Rick, by the way, is going on record now saying he knows he made a mistake. I that's just so you know. Okay. So Chauncey Billups, Walter Davis.
The Greyhound.
Walter Davis averaged almost 19 points a game for a career, averaged over 26 times, was a 6-time All-Star, and was a great rookie for the Suns. I know that. I guess. I'm still not thrilled. I mean, I guess. But I can tell you a little story.
Sure.
When he was a rookie, I was out of at West Falls' house, and we're playing pool at West Falls' pool table, and get talking, and we got talking. He got talking about Dean Smith, and the idea that he burst upon the scene in the Olympics when he was playing for Bobby Knight, and that's when people realized how good he was rather than at Carolina, where you can get smothered by the system. I always said on those days, when you draft a Carolina player, you don't know what you're getting because the guy could have been either protected by the system or smothered by the system.
Right.
And he was smothered by the system. And here is the exact quote that he said. I can still see him standing there with the pool stick in his hand saying, "It's hard to play with a bit in your mouth." So we know where he stood about Dean in that regard. And then the most interesting selection ever, in my opinion, in the Hall of Fame, Michael Cooper. Career points per game, 8.9. Now, we know why he's there, and I'm happy. This is Bill Mazeroski of basketball, and I was a big Mazeroski booster to go to the Hall of Fame. This is the most singular acclaimed mid-sized defensive player, probably other than Rodman, and he's a little shorter than Rodman. Michael Cooper's going in because he made the all-defensive team, first or second team 8 times. First team 5, second team 3. Also, who could present him? Larry Bird. Larry is long on record multiple times as saying Michael Cooper is the toughest guy that ever guarded. And he's got 5 rings. And one other thing that his percentage wasn't that great. But he made a lot of clutch threes in his career, at least against the Celtics he did. I can tell you that. And wonderful guy. I'm so happy for him. I spent a little time with him, Garrett, in January when I was doing interviews for the forthcoming Larry Bird Museum, which is going to open in the spring. And I lobbied to get Michael Cooper on record, and he was terrific. And it's a nice guy. By the way, he's going to celebrate his sixth birthday on Monday, just by the way. You can send him a card. And so I'm happy for him. And Kareem and his daily Substack blog was you know, effusive in praise of Michael Cooper. Everybody liked him. You should like him. So that's a nice one. Oh, and one old timer from the I don't forget what they call that committee, but it's an old timers committee.
Veterans.
Dick Barnett.
Oh yeah.
And fall back, baby. Remember that phrase? That he's the one that's just, you know, on the jump shot. He goes in, and here's why he deserves to go in for sure. Yes, he was a very good NBA player, averaged 16 points a game for the Syracuse Nats, Lakers, and Knicks. Two rings with the Knicks, and that's great. He's one of the great college players of his time. Three-time national champion in the NAIA. He went to Tennessee A&I in the days when it was hard for a black player to get recruited back in the 50s. He's 87 years old, by the way. And he was a solid defensive player. And, you know, when he was with the Knicks, and everybody acclaimed Frazier, got all this publicity for being – Frazier was a gambler, a great poacher, great, you know, lane lurker, a great anticipator. But he wasn't that great a hard-nosed, straight-up guy. Barnett had to guard all the tough guys, and where Frazier could play free safety, and that's what he did. And Barnett took on the hard guys. And one more thing about this man, he earned his PhD in Master of Education from Fordham, and he was renowned for playing chess by mail. How about that, ladies and gentlemen?
Oh my God!
Yes. So, congratulations to you, Dick, and I'm so glad at age 87 you're living. Well, please make it to Springfield in August, please. But you're going to enjoy this honor, and he's a very deserving man.
So when you play chess by mail, do you send it overnight?
I guess. I don't know. I've never done it. Yeah, chess by mail. I always love
that. Chess by mail.
Isn't that great? So those are the ones that people care about. But there are, obviously, we know.
You know, it's interesting. Of the ones, if I may chime in, I think Cooper should be in. And I still like Chauncey because they won a title.
Okay.
You know,
fine.
And the other ones, not so much. I hear you about Chauncey.
I'm not going to complain.
Boy, that Pistons team, you know, I obviously wasn't a Pistons fan, but they were a fun basketball team. Rashid played out of his mind, you know, but they were a fun team to watch. Well, they came out of nowhere. Where'd these guys come from?
They played together. They put it together. They played together. They deserved that championship. Rashid Wallace, by the way, we should be talking about him going to Springfield, except that he's one of the starting forwards, or at least he's on the right, coming off the bench of the all squandered talent team.
No doubt.
Because the leading forward, the all-time leader, and that a starting forward is Derek Coleman. But Rashid's right there with him. And he should have been a Hall of Famer. But
Rashid should have been, no question. He had all the ability in the
didn't
talent.
Have that je ne sais quoi. I didn't have that. We also, three contributors. One, Doug Collins is going in as a contributor.
Oh, good.
And he coached and, of course, broadcast.
Oh, TNT, sure.
America owes him, you know, he would have been the hero of heroes because he made the two free throws that would have beat the Russians in Munich.
In the Olympics.
And down a point, gets fouled, goes to the line, makes them both. And, of course, we got cheated out of that medal, which, by the way, our silver medals are still in a bank vault in Munich. They refuse to pick them up, and God love them. That's for that. And Jerry West goes in for the third time, first as a player, second as a member of the Olympic team, 1960 Olympic team, and the third time as a contributor, quote unquote. You know, but I mean, to me, as an executive, I mean, to me, that's what it was. He was an excellent general manager. He wasn't a good coach, but he's an excellent general manager. And then the man, longtime owner of the Pacers, Herb Simon. Okay. And otherwise, Bo Ryan, a great college coach, a high school coach in Louisiana, Charles Smith, women's Simone Augustus, and the women's the international, Michelle Timms of Australia, and women's veteran, another women's great coach at Wayland Baptist in the old AIW days, and that's Harley Redden. We don't know Harley, but congratulations to you. So that's it. It's not a glamour class compared to some of them, of course, but, you know, it's always a good time in Springfield. I always looking forward to it.
What was it like to go in? And I understand you and Jackie McMullen have both made it abundantly clear as Dan Shaughnessy has, I think, with the Baseball Hall of Fame, that you're not in the Hall of Fame.
Right. Oh, no, I hate it. I mean, I always have to correct people.
Okay, so you've been awarded or recognized by the Hall of Fame.
What Jackie and I have is the best in all four major.
Right.
Have a separate award for media. And they all have a different name, of course. You know, in basketball's case, it's the Kurt Gowdy Award.
Right.
He sponsored it and they named it after him. And it's an honor. You know, it's a lifetime achievement award for writing and in the sport. And I'm honored and thrilled to have it. And Jackie has it. Peter Gammons has it for baseball. That's there. It's the Ford Frick Award.
Right.
And, hockey, I don't know what it is exactly. Fran Rosa got it. The late Fran Rosa.
Well, Shaughnessy's got the Ford Frick, doesn't he?
Danny and Dan has it too, of course. Dan, yeah. And Peter. We've got Larry Whiteside.
Right. Right.
And we have Harold Kayser, who was a great columnist for us in the 60s and 70s, 50s, 60s, 70s. So the Globe is well represented historically in Cooperstown. And in football, Leslie Visser, who was, of course, an art alumnus.
Willie.
And Will McDonough as preeminent writer. So I always say this, and you know, bragging about our sports department, that at one point in time, each of the four sports prominent person covering wound up in that sports respective media hall of
fame. Right.
At one time, Peter, myself, Willie, and Franny Rosa were all working, and we all wound up in the wing. So Globe had a pretty good lineup, pretty good starting lineup in those days.
I love the technology today because of the convenience. But back when I was working at good old WERZ in Exeter, New Hampshire, and at 4 a.m., I would go out I would have to get the papers, and you get the Herald, and you get the Globe, you put them next to each other, and you go to work. You know, you know, what's Borges got? What's Willie got? What's Mannix doing? What's he got over here? Bo Pat, Ryan McMullen, you know, Gilliatti, Maserati. Then you go back over to the baseball guys back in, who's great. I mean, it was, our kids aren't going to, you know, it's just not the same. But when those two papers were going great guns, and I understand what you're saying, you know, about the Globe Hall of Fame, but like the Globe and the Herald competition.
Oh, it was tremendous competition.
Oh, it's great.
On the rail, pushing those two was the Quincy Patriot Ledger.
Oh, sure, because Nick Cafardo, Hobby, Ron Hobson,
yeah,
Mike Fine.
Mike Fine is a good friend of mine, Mike Fine, and they were, you know, their demise is really sad. They don't even have, you know, they're. I don't even want to go into it, but it's sad. But newspapers are under siege, and they're never going to come back to what they were. We're hanging on as well as anybody can hang on, and I want to thanks to Linda Henry. She's the driver.
Well, they found the model. I mean, look, you go on the Globe online, it's worth going on. I mean, yeah. You know, they figured it out.
Yeah,
they figured it out. Now, the story that I love about how the late, great Nick Cafardo got to the Globe was, didn't Willie say to the Globe, whoever the editor was at the time, say, why don't you get this guy from the Ledger? He's kicking our ass anyway.
Well, I didn't have heard that, but I can believe it. Nick was a great hard worker, a good, great, tremendous guy. Went way too soon, and you know, we were thrilled to add him to the roster. You know, because if he could have entered the transfer portal, maybe he would have done it earlier. You know,
because the thing with Nick got scoops with niceness.
Oh, he was a very sweet guy.
But like he was very unsuspecting. Like I remember being down in spring training, or he'd always be like walking around and kind of like lying in the weeds. And I'd be like, what are you up to? Like, nothing. What are you up to? I go, you're up to something. There's nobody here but you. So something's going on.
You know, he did football too. And he had good contacts there.
He had great contacts with football. He got in good with Belichick and some of the Terry Glenn. He got in great with Terry Glenn.
So, yeah. Well, I was one of the, you know, you remember these things, these stunning newses in your life. And my wife and my granddaughter and I were in Quebec City when we got the phone call that Nick had died. I was,
right.
And because it was completely, you know, he passed out. I mean, he
passed out
at Fenway. I mean, at JetBlue Stadium.
At JetBlue Stadium. Oh, yeah.
On a day off. He was supposed to be on a day off, but he didn't acknowledge that there was such a.
He went to the ballpark. Yeah. I mean, hey. One of the best. Bob, it's always a pleasure going down memory lane, my friend.
Well, thank you.
Good stuff as always. Prize Picks brings you the Bob Ryan. Jeff Goodman will be back soon. Tangway along for the ride, Zoom and Pod. Exclusive daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with Prize Picks. Bob, we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Very good. All right, Gary.